through love and peace. But this series is not on the hippie movement, it's on the Ten Commandments. And we've been looking at the Ten Commandments not as thou shalt not, but rather expressions of love. Because when Jesus was asked to just boil down the Ten Commandments to their most simple common denominator, he says the Ten Commandments are all about love. Love to God and love toward people. And that's simply what it's about. So we've been looking at the commandments as commandments of love. Well, today we're going to talk about commandment number 9, which means next week we're going to end this. Commandment number 9, which simply says from the familiar King James to some of us, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now that's King James. I've been teaching you hand motions so you can remember the Ten Commandments in their correct order, which, by the way, only 2 out of 100 Christians are able to do. But you are going to break the norm a lot. So let's do the hand motions. Number one, no other gods before us. God is number one in our life. Commandment number two, hold your two fingers up. Do not bow down to any graven image. Commandment number three, which looks like a W, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. No swearing. Commandment number four, join those fingers together and you have a church. Worship the Lord on the seventh day. Make it a day of rest and worship the church. Commandment number five, using universal sign language, honor thy father and thy mother. Touch your forehead, which is father. Chin, which is mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. Commandment number 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You take your six shooter and point it at your palm. Don't kill. Thou shalt not kill. Commandment number 7. Take these two fingers, put them together. This is mommy and daddy. They're committed to themselves and they don't pay attention to anybody else. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Commandment number 8. Take your thumbs and put them behind your palms, because in some cultures, if you're caught stealing, they'll cut your thumbs off. So thou shalt not steal. And today, commandment number 9. And what you do is you take your thumb on your left hand and put it on your palm. You put your hand like that. Your thumb is a pretend Bible, okay? Thumb is a pretend Bible. Put your other hand up. And you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Commandment number 9. Next week I'll teach you 10. Now as we near the end of our series on the Ten Commandments, I am amazed how appropriate stuff that was given by God thousands of years ago are appropriate for our culture today. The commandments, people's lives, the way people are, has not changed in the many centuries from the giving of the Ten Commandments. Every one of the commandments, every one of them, particularly the last 6 that have to do with our relationships to one another, they still address issues that we deal with in our real lives. And one of those issues that we deal with is telling the truth. Now we're going to look at what this 9th commandment really means. Number 2, we're going to look at the results of not being truthful. And we're going to finish up by looking at how we can live truthful lives. And I want to live truthful lives, and I know you do too. Now some of us are old enough to remember the television show To Tell the Truth. Now, it is with another TV game show, the only TV game show that has spanned 7 decades. Can you guess the other TV show that has been the longest running one, along with To Tell the Truth? The Price is Right. These are the two oldest television shows. And if you've seen To Tell the Truth, and they actually have a more modern version that is out today, it continues to go. But To Tell the Truth goes like this. There are a panel of celebrities, and these panel of celebrities are looking at three contestants. One of the contestants is going to tell the truth, and two of the contestants are going to tell lies, lying through their teeth to try to fool the panel of celebrities. And the person who has been selected for the show is one that has a very unusual occupation or has done something very unusual in their life. And so the panel of celebrities asks questions of the contestants. And at the end of the show, there is that very moment that people wonder what's going to be said. And so they tell who they think the real one and who the liar are. And sometimes the liars are so good that they fool the panel of so-called experts to tell the truth. Now, sometimes it seems that like lying has pretty much become a way of life today. It's the normal way a lot of people do things. It's the way our culture is. Politicians lie, athletes lie, movie stars lie. And I'm sad to say there has even been some pastors that have been caught in lies. People seem to lie today at the drop of a hat. It's just kind of the way our modern culture is. Some people would say, so what's the big deal? Well, here are some famous American fibs that'll amuse you. How about this one? We service what we sell. Yeah, right. This one, your luggage isn't lost, it's only misplaced. How about this one? Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. How about this one? One size fits all. If we look at the literal language of the ninth commandment, it is about being truthful in a legal system, in a court. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And there was a legal system in ancient Israel. They did have judges and they did have a court system back then. And the integrity of a court system back in the time that the Ten Commandments were written, and even today, still does hinge on people, witnesses, telling the truth. God, however, does not want us to just limit our honesty when we're in court. For some of us who are not attorneys or judges or spend any time in court, we're rarely there. So if the commandment only talks about when we're in court, to be honest, it really limits what honesty is really all about. Obviously, there is a principle to the ninth commandment. The last six commandments, again, have to do with expressing love one to another. And the Living Bible, I think, nails this ninth commandment, that it simply says, and you can see he has the Pinocchio nose. You've heard the story of Pinocchio. Every time the doll Pinocchio wooden figure told a lie, his nose grew longer and longer. Living Bible says, you must not lie. This is the ninth commandment. It has to do with living and practicing a life of truthfulness. Now, there's various ways that people can lie. Winston Churchill, you probably recognize his picture. He was Prime Minister of England. And one day in the British House of Parliament, there was a person who told a lie. And this very ethical man, instead of calling this person a liar, this is what he said. This person is perpetuating a terminological inexactitude. Okay. We can try to dress it up. We can try to disguise it. But a lie is a lie is a lie. And there are many ways that we can be untruthful in the way that we live our lives. Many different ways. Let me just suggest a few. Bearing false witness. Now, I told you that the primary application of the ninth commandment is that of if you're in a court and you need to tell the truth when you're talking about something as a witness. This kind of false witness took place in the experience of Jesus Christ. Remember, he was on trial there just before he was crucified. And there were some false witnesses that were actually paid to tell lies about Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Mark 14:56 from the Good News. Many witnesses told lies about Jesus, but their stories did not agree. So even when, as they were paid off, they couldn't get their lies to match. Bearing false witness. That's a lie. Then there is the outright lie. We might call it a bold-faced lie. And it might go something like this. Lisa, honey, there are some cookies missing out of the package in the pantry. Do you know anything about where these cookies may be? If you can see the picture, Lisa has cookies behind her. And she says, no, Mom, I have no idea where those cookies went. An outright lie. Another way we can lie is spreading a false rumor. And this happens all too often. When people spread a falsehood, either knowingly or unknowingly because they heard it from someone else. And if you've ever had this happen to you, where you have heard someone talking about you in a blatant untruth, you know how distressing it is. In another church, not this one, there was a rumor that was flying around that my health was really bad and that I should be replaced as the pastor because my health was so bad. And when I heard that rumor, I go, you've got to be kidding. I would match my health up and fitness level with anybody my age. But the rumor was going around, yeah, Ron Mellor's health is not very good and he may not last very much longer, so we should probably look for another pastor. Woo! It still bothers me to think about that. Another type of falsehood is making excuses. Someone once called excuses disguised lies. Think about that. An excuse can be a disguised lie. Disguised lie. And rather than admitting a failure or a screw-up, we try to make an excuse and to justify it. This cracks me up every time I consider this. Pro football player Ricky Williams, who is now retired, but he was a running back for the Miami Dolphins. And he got busted a number of times because he had positive drug tests. And so the caption of this sports page reads, Ricky Williams blames pot for his failed drug test. And I don't know if you can see the subheading there, but this just kills me. He said, I got high and forgot I wasn't supposed to get high. Are you kidding me? So it's okay. I would have done things correctly, but I got high, and so I forgot I wasn't supposed to get high. Now, maybe this is a humorous, extreme example, but we have all tried to make excuses at one time or another. And again, excuses can be disguised lies. Well, there's all different kinds of telling lies. There's what's called white lies. There's half-truths. There's flattery, where we aren't telling the truth because we want to get something out of it. There's embellishment. I was in a 9-car pileup when I was maybe just in a single fender bender or whatever. We can even tell lies, ladies and gentlemen, without saying a word. By our silence, we can give a false impression, which is a way of telling an untruth. There's all different kinds of lying, and those of us who have kids have probably seen them all, and so we understand how it works. Well, I want to get off of that and talk about some results of lying. I think this is an amazing picture. You can see, they talk about people being two-faced. Well, this guy is taking his face off, and it's like he is not what he really appears to be. The results of lying can be very detrimental and devastating. Let me share with you a few of them. And I know I'm giving lots of lists here, so pick out whatever God is speaking to you that you need to pay attention to, and if there's not something for you, then just wait for the next thing. It might refer to you. Lying hurts people. Lying hurts other people. It hurts ourselves, but it certainly hurts other people. From Proverbs 25:18, New Living Translation, telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, lying hurts other people. Peter, the apostle Peter, the disciple, must have gone to his grave thinking about the hurt that he caused Jesus just before his crucifixion, as he was there in the courtyard warming his hands by a fire. And a servant girl looked at him and said, "You're one of his followers." And he emphatically lied and he said, "No way. I don't know the man." How Jesus must have been hurt to look over at this man that he had invested 3 years of his life. It saved him from being drowned when he was walking on the water, and how he loved Peter so much. To have Peter say, "I don't even know this guy," and then do it with expletives and swearing. Lying not only hurts other people, it destroys trust. One of the best illustrations of this is in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that Adam and Eve walked and talked with God. And then there was that day that the serpent found Eve separated from Adam and called her over to this tree that she knew that she wasn't supposed to be close to. And the serpent invited her to eat some of the fruit, which God had forbade. And so the serpent basically said, "Did God really tell you not to eat the fruit of this tree? Look at this fruit. It's succulent. It's beautiful. Did he really say that? He doesn't know what he's talking about. Before, if you eat this fruit, it's going to be a wonderful thing, and you're going to be enlightened like a god." This was the very first lie that was told on our planet. And after that lie, the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God was never the same. Because after they fell in sin, the Bible says that they hid themselves from God. They didn't even want to be with him. It destroyed trust. It destroyed the relationship. In fact, lying wrecks relationships. This is what it says in Proverbs 16:28. "Gossip is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and they break up friendships." And there's no dramatic more illustration of this than in a marriage relationship when one partner is caught in a lie to another partner and trust is broken down, and it can even destroy the relationship and destroy the marriage. The next result of lying that I want to talk about or draw your attention to is it breaks our fellowship, our relationship with God. This is what it says in Psalms 101:7. Good news. "No liar will live in my palace." This is God speaking. "No liar will live in my palace. No hypocrite remain in my presence." And lying separates us from God, and it breaks this fellowship that we have with him. And then the final item that I want to talk about in the result of lying is that lying, scripturally speaking, it says that it brings God's judgment on us. And there's this very sobering passage at the end of the Bible in Revelation 21 that gives a lot list of certain kind of sinners, and it talks about all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. This is referring to non-repentant liars, liars who do not admit their sin and ask for God's grace to cover it. Well, enough of the negative. I want to talk about how to be a truthful person. Because, again, I'm looking at these commandments not as prohibitive thou shalt nots as much as positive commands showing us how we can get along better in this life with God and with one another. How to be a truthful person. Point number one, be clear on what God thinks about lying. Be clear on what God thinks about lying. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that in our Christian walk, if we would just be clear on hating what God hates and loving what God loves, we would make better choices in life. This is what God says in Proverbs 12:22. The Lord detests lying lips. What is his opinion on lying? He detests lying. But he delights in men who are fruitful. Again, if we would just hate what God hates and love what God loves, we would be in a better position to make the right decisions. I like the illustration of Joseph. Joseph is one of my heroes because he was so strong for God, even though he went through some terrible experiences. To be sold as a slave by your siblings, are you kidding me? That would be one of the most devastating things that anyone could ever go through. Well, there is Joseph in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife takes a liking to Joseph and invites him to commit an immoral sexual act with her. And Joseph's response was, no way. He did not waver. He said, well, let me think about it. No. He said, no, absolutely not. I cannot do this thing and sin against God. He was very clear on what God thought about what she was asking him to do. And if we are clear on what God thinks about lying, I think that counts for something in the decisions that we make. The second point I want to make in how to be a truthful person is to think before speaking. Very simple. And some of us have learned the hard way that we haven't always practiced that as well as we should. James 1 speaks to this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. As has been pointed out, God gave us two ears and one mouth because he wishes that we would at least do twice as much listening as we do speaking. If we would just think before we talk. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of us get up in the morning, I think I want to do a lot of lying today. No, we don't get up that way. We sometimes let untruths go in an unguarded moment. When we're just really not thinking about what we're doing and it just jumps out. Our basic sinful nature is very powerful in our lives. And it can easily take over if we're not thinking. Think before speaking, particularly when it comes to something that might be not true. Point number three. Seek diligently the transforming presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is what it says in John 16:13, contemporary English version. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, shows us what is true and will come and guide you into the full truth. It is the Spirit of truth. And if we have the Holy Spirit active in our lives, transforming us from the inside out, we're going to gravitate toward truthfulness. We will always be a work in progress this side of heaven. But there is so much that can be done if we just yield ourselves to God, to just give ourselves to Him completely. The Holy Spirit does miracles in our lives. Amen? Hopefully there are those of us who can give testimony of that. And we can say, by God's grace, with His indwelling Holy Spirit, I have grown and I have become a new creation that God promises us. So seek the transforming presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's not just a one-time thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I got to do it every day. Every day and probably multiple times a day. It's not a one-time thing. And then the final one. Go beyond honesty. Live a purposefully transparent and authentic life. So here is honesty, and we're called to be more than just honest. We're called to be transparent and authentic. Ann Landers was quoted as saying this: the naked truth is always better than the best dressed lie. The naked truth is always better than the best dressed lie. And God wants His people not only to be honest, but to live lives of authentic transparency. And when I think of a person, a Bible character who exemplified that, it's David. It's King David, hands down. This is what he says in Psalms 51, verses 3, 4a, and 17 from Good News. David was naked before God, not literally, but spiritually. He said, I recognize and admit my faults. I am always conscious of my sins. I have sinned against you, only against you, and have done what you consider evil. My sacrifice is a humble spirit. O God, you will not reject a humble and repentant heart. David was honest, but more than that, he was transparent and he was authentic toward God. And God was able to call this man a man after my own heart. There was a time in the United States of America, and it seems like a long time ago, but some of you can remember it as well as I can. There was a time in our country where a person's word was a bond. If someone said, I give you my word, you could take it to the bank. This was a time when people didn't even really lock their doors of their houses or cars. We certainly do not live in that time in Earth's history anymore. Those days seem, as we look in our rearview mirror, way far away and seem to be getting farther away. Do you know how James, the half-brother of Jesus, died? It's quite a story. In case you don't know, let me tell you. Jesus had many siblings. We don't know a lot about them. But James, the same James who wrote the book of the Bible, James, and was a leader in the early church, this same James was the half-brother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. During the time before Jesus was crucified, even though James lived with Jesus as his sibling, James did not accept Christ as the Messiah. Now, I parenthetically add, I don't get that, because there had to be something really different about Jesus Christ. For someone who not even a single thought ever in his life ever sinned, he had to be some extraordinary person. And he had to be an extraordinary teenager and all throughout his growing up days. But for some reason, we don't know a lot about it, but for some reason, James did not accept Jesus as the Messiah before the cross. But then the cross came and Jesus died. And 3 days later, you know what happened. Jesus rose from the dead, amen? And he rose from the dead forever, getting the victory over sin and death for us, so that he could be our Savior and apply his finished work of salvation to us. He rose from the dead, and when James saw him risen, something amazing happened in him. It's called conversion. And all of us have a conversion story, hopefully of one degree or another. But James' conversion story is incredible. For in that moment, when he saw his half-brother, who had been killed and now was alive, it was like, oh my goodness. My brother is the Messiah! And at that moment, he came alive spiritually. And the Holy Spirit came upon him in great measure. And James became a real outspoken proponent for his half-brother Jesus and the gospel that Jesus makes possible. Well, James was, he was a great embarrassment to the Jewish leaders. For you see, here was the brother who did not believe in Jesus, who is now going around and saying, I used to not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and the Savior, but he's alive. I've seen it with my own two eyes. Jesus is the Savior. He's the Messiah. The Jewish leaders didn't like that a bit. And so as James became more vocal in his sharing of his brother as the Messiah, they got madder and madder. And there was that day, as reported by an historian named Eusebius. He's a Jewish historian. And he wrote in his memoirs, historical records, that the religious Jewish leaders got so angry at Jesus, rather at James, that they physically grabbed him and took him somewhere. Now, this is the temple in Jerusalem. This is the temple. And this is my picture. I went on a Holy Land tour, and if you ever have a chance to go to the place where Jesus walked, do it. It's an amazing experience. So I, with my little camera, got down below and took a picture of the Jewish temple. It's hard to realize how high it is. I would say it's like 3 or 4 stories high at least, maybe more. They took James, the half-brother of Jesus, to the top of this temple, and they dangled him kind of on the edge there and says, you need to stop talking about Jesus. We will let you live if you tell people that what you have believed is a lie, and there is no alive Jesus after that. Eusebius says that James stood tall. And he says, no, that would be a lie, because I have seen him with my own eyes, and I cannot say that I will not tell other people about the Messiah, my half-brother. So they took him and they threw him off the top of the temple at Jerusalem. And there wasn't a trampoline down there. I've seen what's down there. It is a stone road. Big stones that are laid, that are all flat. Tradition says that when he hit the stone road there, that he was not killed. And so they came down because they were so angry and wanted to shut him up, that they then gathered stones and finished the job. The person who did not believe in Jesus now was willing to go to his death because he now believed in Jesus fully. God calls us to live lives of honesty and truthfulness. And beyond that, he calls us to live authentic, transparent lives. I like what Paul says in Philippians 2:15. He says, "You, as followers of Jesus Christ, should shine brightly like stars in a crooked and perverse generation." Maybe one of the best witnesses that you and I could give with our lives is that we live lives of honesty, truthfulness, vulnerability, authenticity, and transparency. That is the true meaning of what it means to be obedient to the 9th commandment. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray in this crooked and perverse time period that we live in, all around us is lying and untruthfulness. I just ask, Lord, that your Spirit help us to live to a higher standard. Lord, may we be so filled with the Spirit of Jesus that he takes over our lives and does a work of transformation so we can live these truthful lives, these honest lives, these transparent lives, these authentic lives. Lord, thank you so much for calling us to be your people. It's a high and holy calling. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.